Introduction. I have only newspaper accounts of the air balloons, to which I do not know what credence to give, as the tales related of them are marvelous and lead us to expect that, in a little time, people will come flying through the air instead of plowing the ocean to get to America. George Washington, 1784. From its beginning, the United States of America has been a country of dreamers, people escaping the tyranny of kings and rigid hierarchical social structures to forge a better life free of those constraints. It's the definition of the American dream, the ideal that every citizen of the United States should have an equal opportunity to achieve success and prosperity through hard work, determination, and initiative, as defined by the Oxford English Dictionary. The dreams that drove the first settlers and every newcomer since to these shores are much the same as those that drive people to start their own businesses. Not surprisingly, entrepreneurship is part of our shared cultural DNA. When asked what makes America great, economics professor Leo Hanyan answered in one word, entrepreneurship. Assuming that's true, then America is headed for even greater greatness in the years ahead. In 2021, more than 5 million new companies were formed, following a record 4.4 million startups in 2020. To put those numbers in perspective, consider that an average of 2.9 million new business applications were filed each year from 2010 to 2019. And during only the first 6 months of 2022, the number of new business startups has nearly reached the past decade's yearly average, with more than 2.5 million applications filed, according to census data. And signs are that the number of new entrepreneurial enterprises is not going to slow, but grow in 2022. That's because of what's been called the Great Resignation. Employees are quitting their jobs in unprecedented numbers since the COVID-19 pandemic. Many of them are joining the ranks of the new American entrepreneurial dreamers. As the Wall Street Journal reported, workers quit jobs in droves to become their own bosses. They are discovering their inner entrepreneur as they seek more flexibility and an escape from corporate bureaucracy. Ian Cook, Vice President of People Analytics at Visier, writing in Harvard Business Review, reported the most significant increase in corporate resignations is among mid-career professionals between 30 and 45 years old. Their numbers rose by 20% from 2020 to 2021. Resignations were also elevated among those aged 45 to 60 years, but not as much as the 30 to 45-year-olds. Emboldened by low unemployment and the plethora of help-wanted notices, some mid-career professionals are walking off one job right into another. But others are choosing a different path. Some are going solo and joining the gig economy. Nearly 9.5 million Americans are self-employed, unincorporated workers, the highest since 2008. Others, like the record number of new businesses registered in 2021 show, have a vision to start a real business. Take this job and shove it. The disruption caused by the pandemic can't take all the credit for the current entrepreneurial boom, but it certainly paved the way. Quarantined at home, we all had more time to reflect on our life goals and ambitions. Many have found their current careers and employers wanting. Further, forced to work from home while corporate offices were closed, mid-career professionals discovered they liked the flexibility. They could accomplish more in less time without all the office distractions. And since time is money, not having to spend time commuting to the office was an even bigger plus. Some enterprising folks put those found hours into gig work, using services like Upwork to take on freelance assignments. And success there can become a professional springboard out of the corporation into self-employment. Upwork reports some 20% of people working remotely during the pandemic plan to leave their full-time jobs for freelancing. And a survey by Digital.com found 32% of Americans are quitting their jobs to start a business. leaving the corporation behind. It's not without risks to leave corporate careers behind and leap into entrepreneurship, but for an increasing number, the rewards are worth it. People pursuing entrepreneurship want more control, greater autonomy. Being your own boss, in control of one's work and time, is a compelling motivation to pursue an entrepreneurial journey. While an entrepreneur still has people to answer to, whether clients, customers, or investors, self-employment is a way to get out from under a boss's thumb and do your own thing. Being your own boss gives you more control over who you work for and with, what you do, and when you do it. More meaning. Everyone wants their life to mean something, and since the typical American adult spends more time working than doing anything else besides sleeping, their work must be meaningful too. Writing in MIT Sloan Management Review, Professor Catherine Bailey and senior lecturer Adrian Madden define meaningful work as when an individual perceives an authentic connection between work and a broader, transcendent life purpose beyond the self. Research has shown that the meaning behind the work is more motivating than any other aspect of work, including pay and rewards, opportunities for promotion, or working conditions. For each individual, their meaning is different, but for the entrepreneur, it usually is found by matching one's interests, innate capabilities, and talents to one's passions to create something that others need and will pay for. Pursuing purpose. Meaning and purpose are closely intertwined. However, meaning is deeply personal and inwardly focused. Purpose is how one's personal meaning is expressed outward into society. Purpose is about making a difference in the world. Finding purpose may make some individuals give up high-paying corporate jobs to pursue work in the nonprofit sector. For others, it motivates them to build a purposeful business. A McKinsey study found that the uncertainties caused by the pandemic have turned people's attention toward more purposeful work. And those who find it are better for it, with those who say they are living their purpose at work reporting 5 times greater levels of well-being compared with those who are not. Grow wealth. Achieving greater financial means and the social status that goes with it is another motivator to start a business, though it is probably the weakest reason to do so. The statistics don't favor startup businesses. Some 20% don't make it into their second year, yet few people get wealthy working for someone else. And if you build a successful business, the business itself becomes a valuable asset. Don't count on becoming as fabulously wealthy as Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, or Bill Gates, but they all started out where you are today, with a dream of starting a business. If you feel these factors pulling you to leave your old work life behind and venture out on your own, then this book is for you. The Corporatepreneur Plan will come alongside you with hard-earned wisdom and practical guidance from Ken Roll. Ken has been where you've been. After successfully climbing the corporate ladder for the first half of his career, at age 50, he founded a business in the spare bedroom of his home, grew it to become a globally recognized brand, then, 33 years later, sold it to a Fortune 500 industry leader. Ken wasn't the first corporatepreneur, nor did he coin the term. CX Series podcast host Terrence Fox gets that credit, defining it as an executive who combines the business acumen and decision-making abilities of an entrepreneur with the best attributes of a corporate manager. But Ken has lived it, studied it, and taught it, and now he is sharing his insider secrets with you. He will provide the game plan to direct you through the planning phase of a new business, help you manage its growing pains, and power you over the inevitable speed bumps. His insights will equip you with the personal and business tools you'll need to step out on your own and turn your dreams of starting a business into a reality. Meet Ken Roll. Let me introduce you to Ken Roll, a kitchen and bath industry legend, yet not well known outside of it. But if you've remodeled a kitchen or bath in the past 30 years, many of the trends and products you considered, if not selected, were because of, or at least influenced by, Ken's work and the company he built. Take the Fire Clay Farmhouse Sink, which is fixer-upper star Joanna Gaines' signature kitchen design element. Everything but the kitchen sink. My kitchen, it's the heart of the home for me. I love the farmhouse sink, and I love looking out the window at the animals and cows while I work, says Joanna Gaines. You'd have to be living under a rock if you don't at least have a passing acquaintance with Joanna Gaines and her distinctive farmhouse country chic style. Working alongside her husband Chip, since they married in 2003, they've built a $20 million empire, Magnolia, out of Waco, Texas. The couple shot to fame in 2013 with their fixer-upper show on HGTV. Using that as their launchpad, their business has grown to include a broadcast network with Discovery, which owns HGTV, real estate, books, restaurants, retail shops, e-commerce websites, and licensing deals with Target and Anthropology. This made-for-primetime couple is a study in yin-yang, brains and brawn contrasts. Chip provides comic relief and literally does the heavy lifting. He delights in demo day when he takes a sledgehammer to a fixer home to get it ready for Joanna to do the upper part of the show with her transformational design magic. Kitchens are her particular passion. Invariably, they feature shiplap siding and a signature farmhouse sink, like the one she has in her own home. Its apron front design was a complete departure from the typical American undermount sink when Rohl introduced the farmhouse sink to the U.S. market in the early 1990s. Without Joanna's design sensibility and television show, Fire Clay Farmhouse Sinks wouldn't be the thing that they are today. And without Ken Rohl, she'd probably never have discovered her signature kitchen design statement. The Role Model for Corporatepreneurship. You might say Ken became a big fish in a small pond, but that is far from the complete picture. With his 65 years of experience, including over a quarter century in corporate America, working across many different industries, he has honed a business model, what we call the Role Model, to identify white space in a crowded market and to introduce groundbreaking innovation that others inevitably follow. Effectively, he aims to make a small pond bigger. On the question of taking market share, he says, it is much better to grow the pie than to try to make your slice bigger. It's a credo he lives by that has won him acclaim among his peers. He was inducted into the Kitchen and Bath Association Hall of Fame in 2008, and respect from all who have the pleasure to know him. He grew the pie in the kitchen and bath industry by elevating the design, quality, and performance of the water appliance. All the products related to water delivery needs of the total home, including kitchen, bath, bar, patio, and laundry. He effectively raised the bar for an industry trapped in a commoditized space. He elevated kitchen and bath products to a premium, highly differentiated space. Ken started with what is now a ubiquitous product, the pull-out kitchen faucet. But at the time, it was the harbinger of European innovation, entering the U.S. plumbing and fixtures market and, along with European cabinetry and appliances, redefined the modern American kitchen. It was a product that his then-corporate employer decided not to back. It was deemed too new, too different, and too expensive to compete in the American market. Ken knew differently, and the rest is history. Ken's story is unique. One of the personal qualities that distinguishes Ken among the people who've known and worked with him is his generosity. That is why Ken has undertaken this book, The Corporatepreneur Plan. Its purpose is to help other people caught mid-career feeling unfulfilled, stifled, and underappreciated in their corporate jobs to reboot and gain more personal fulfillment and potentially greater financial rewards. And since exiting the company he founded, he has devoted himself to mentoring young entrepreneurs in industries as diverse as healthcare, wine, fashion, gifts, home services, and hospitality. So aspiring entrepreneurs who don't want to bother working for a corporation, but want an entrepreneurial head start, can find valuable insights here too. It will provide the corporate know-how and wisdom from Ken's experience to help them create a sustainable, growing business from the ground up. Being a good listener is another distinguishing quality of Ken's. He's always willing to listen to new ideas and give his perspective. But he never pontificates or shoots from the hip. Rather, he will search his internal database for similar situations he may have faced and frame his answer in the form of a story. You'll find many of those throughout this book. Besides being a consummate storyteller, and we all know the power of story in business, Ken is a master of crafting catchphrases to seal his pearls of wisdom into memory. Called Kenisms by those who've worked with him, his ability to turn profound insights into memorable slogans is a skill he picked up along the way, working with advertising agencies and marketing executives. And those Kenisms, which you will find sprinkled through the Corporateneur plan as life lessons learned, will help you turn his insights into action in your future business. One of his most quoted is, "Make a plan, work the plan." Al Rikas, who worked with Ken for 10 years before becoming a corporateur in his own entrepreneurial venture, explains, "When I would get ready to do something, one of the things he always said was, 'Make a plan, work the plan.' It was a discipline he learned in corporate America. Everything is about the business and the corporate goals and objectives. You've got to commit yourself to a plan and then follow it down the path to see the results, because something, lots of things, will always come up to sway you to move in another direction. Otherwise, you'll never be able to measure results." At the same time, Al reflects that American-style corporate discipline can too easily turn into rigidity that can crush an entrepreneurial enterprise. That's what Ken found stifling in corporate America. In corporate America, it's all about the business, and it doesn't account for the personal and emotional element, which is critical when running your own company, Al continues. So when we would make a plan at Roll, everyone it impacted had to be involved in the decision-making. If we couldn't get the buy-in up front, I saw Ken pull back any number of times and start again. You've got to get the right plan in order for everybody to work the plan. That involves personal relationships. Making a plan and working the plan is a maxim Ken learned early and has followed not just in his career, but in every aspect of his life.
Ken's life lesson learned. Make a plan, work the plan. I only met Malcolm Forbes once, and we talked about ballooning, a hobby we both shared. I'd admired him for a lifetime. He held values of self-determination and business achievement I shared, and he believed in trying harder to make yourself better. We balloon people are a small but passionate group. There are only about 6,000 licensed hot air balloonists in the country that share those same values. We are a community of achievers. I got into ballooning in 1972. My neighbor, a United Airlines pilot, invited me to attend a presentation by Raven Industries. Learning how to master the effects of low-level winds like they have at O'Hare drew him to ballooning, something he felt they don't teach pilots enough about. I was interested because I thought ballooning might be a nice complement to my sailing hobby. Both are dependent on the vagaries of the wind. It also fit my lifestyle. I could balloon in the early morning and late afternoon and sail late mornings and early afternoons. So after some very persuasive marketing, and a couple of martinis, he and I became the owners of a $10,000 Raven 55 aluminum frame gondola and a green and white balloon envelope. We christened it La Mère Grand Verte, the Big Green Mama. Back then, $10,000 was a lot of money. so we decided to start a Chapter S corporation and sell shares to commercialize our venture by giving balloon rides and making the balloon available for commercial events. We had a lot of other commercial pilots in our neighborhood, so a couple of them came along for the ride. But even one neighborhood housewife bought in, thinking it would be fun. Becoming a hot air balloon pilot fulfilled my lifelong dream of flying. In college, I was in the Air Force ROTC and had my sights set on a military career flying. But that got sidelined when I learned there were more pilots than planes in the Air Force back then. We all had to get licensed to fly, which included going into freefall from 10,000 feet, then relighting the propane and safely landing. That maneuver isn't for the faint of heart. Getting ready for a balloon flight requires a ground crew and chase vehicle ready for action. We'd usually take off from our Tower Lake neighborhood in the early morning when the wind is lighter and more predictable. Besides prepping the gondola and propane tanks and filling the balloon envelope, you must check with the local weather service to estimate your flight path and landing choices. But that is always speculative because you can only make assumptions about wind shifts. Ultimately, you never really know where you're going to land, but you're hoping it will be in a cornfield or open farmland. It's tradition to give the landowner whose property we've invaded a bottle of champagne, and hopefully, but not always, it becomes a joyful celebration with the landowner and our passengers. Even when you plan your balloon trip as carefully as possible, there are still many things that can crop up that aren't in the plan. You've got to be on alert for all kinds of hazards, like high-tension wires, golf courses, private estates, barbed wire fences, lakes, and even the occasional bog. You have to account for lift, or lack thereof, from heat coming off the ground. And then the winds may not blow as expected. One of the last flights I piloted almost turned into a nightmare. I was with one of my partners, who'd had a bad flight recently. Just like when you fall off a horse, we figured you need to get right back on it. So that is what we decided to do together. Everything looked in order before the flight, but after we took off, the wind changed. Instead of blowing us toward the farmland west of Chicago as planned, we were heading right toward the city and Lake Michigan. I tried to find places to land, but below were only industrial parks, railroad yards, highways, and high-tension electrical towers. At the last minute, I finally found some land where we could put down before hitting Lake Michigan. After that experience, we decided we'd already used up one too many of our 9 lives and knew it was time to quit. So, after 7 years, we sold the balloon for less than we paid, but it was an adventure well worth it. I learned a lot from my time flying. I learned about taking responsibility for yourself and others who depend on your skill and experience. I gained a new understanding of risk, and it was a confidence builder. I learned how to stay calm when facing potential dangers and the unknown. And most especially, I got a new understanding about the consequences of making bad decisions. These were lessons I took into managing my own business. As diligently and carefully as you plan, you've always got to be ready for contingencies. When the unexpected pops up, you have to rely on experience, common sense, and intuition to persevere through it and come out on the other side. Even so, things may not turn out according to plan, but they'd be inevitably worse with little or no plan. There is nothing like the joy and freedom you feel when hot air ballooning. It's like being a bird. That's the experience we want to feel as we lift off out of our current corporate career into our own entrepreneurial adventure. But to be successful, it takes rigorous planning and careful assessment of our strengths and weaknesses. You need to play to those strengths and compensate for the weaknesses. Then, you are ready to fly.
On the pages that follow, you'll find a guide to make your plan for your entrepreneurial journey. Ken and I will come along beside you to show how to make the most of life experiences, including time spent working for others, and use this to create a sustainable, productive, and profitable business to support yourself, your family, and if you decide, potential employees. Be prepared because that journey may be more challenging and take longer than you expect. But with diligence and hard work, it will be exhilarating, joyful, and more rewarding than any professional endeavor you can imagine. The Corporateneur Plan is first and foremost a business book, but it unapologetically and intentionally has a personal development and self-help aspect too. Most business books are focused on building, managing, and getting return on capital invested in the business. For the entrepreneur, one's human capital, their skills, experience, knowledge, energy, inspiration, passion, and personal qualities is far more important than financial capital. The financial capital piece will fall into place when the right human capital is invested in the most productive ways. But for the entrepreneur, all the financial capital in the world can't overcome a shortfall in human capital. In the following chapters, we will share how learning from one's corporate experience, organization, process, strategy, and discipline can be the key to success in an entrepreneurial venture, as long as other qualities are added into the mix, such as humanity, innovation, flexibility, and intuition. So with Ken as our expert guide, who's been there and done it all, and me, a market researcher and writer who's followed an entrepreneurial path for 30 years after 10 years in corporate America, we set off on an exciting adventure together. Get ready for liftoff. How to use this book. Nothing stays the same and nothing changes. What is old today will be new tomorrow. What is new today will be forgotten tomorrow, wrote Harley King, author and poet. You might ask, what can a guy who was born before World War II teach me about building and running a business today? And our answer is simple. That's why you need to learn from Ken. Business is business now and then, he says. Ken has experienced it all. Economic ups and downs, massive cultural and consumer market shifts as one generation makes way for another, along with the resulting generational wealth transfers. Ken also can overcome a critical shortfall businesses currently face, the talent gap caused when mature managers leave the workforce and take their skills, knowledge, and experience with them. Next generation managers are left to repeat the same mistakes that those who came before them made. Moving from a structured corporate environment into the unstructured world of entrepreneurship presents talent gap challenges all its own. Ken can fill that gap. And over the years, he has been passing along the role model for business building by mentoring the next generation of aspiring entrepreneurs, such as Jenny Martin, a PGA-certified golf instructor who now runs a golf training business. I can't tell you how much I benefited from all the lessons Ken taught me about business and myself. The real breakthrough was him teaching me how to manage my time and resources by playing to my strengths in order to overcome my weaknesses, she says. He also showed me a structured way to segment my target market so that I leaned into clients with long-term potential and didn't get distracted by potential clients who would deplete me and had much lower potential. That was a real game changer for me, she adds. This isn't a book where you'll learn the latest and greatest marketing tricks and business building tactics. Rather, it will pass along rock-solid, proven strategies the corporateur can use to start, run, and build a sustainable business. And a critically important part of that is self-reflection, identifying your innate strengths and playing to them. That's why each chapter will end with a bullet list of Ken's most important takeaways and a checklist for you to complete to prepare you for your corporateurial adventure.